I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's one of the great defensive players in Ohio State history. Bobby Carpenter is with us here on Cam Hayward's birthday. Bobby, I don't know if you knew that. Big Cam turned 36 today.
Yeah, I do a morning show in Columbus, Ohio. And so we have today in history. So I always have some significant events that happen. And then I have birthdays and passings. And so anytime there's a notable Buckeye birthday, I always make sure I get it. And so, yes, Cam being 36 and still playing football in like his 20th year of the NFL is remarkable.
From one Ohio State Buckeye to another, when you think of Cam Hayward, what are the things that first come to Bobby Carpenter's mind?
The depth of his voice, the size of his head, the broadness of his shoulders. Like, he's just a monstrous human being. And he got there maybe a year or two after I left, and I remember coming back in the offseason, and like, yeah, this is Ironhead's kid. And I'm like, yeah, 100%. Like, that, he checks all the boxes. He looks like his dad. He's a bigger version of that. He's got heavy hands. He's a physical guy. And probably one of the, and you would know this, like, and people in Pittsburgh probably do, one of the nicer and kinder people, but also one of the more intimidating figures you can also meet. And so for a guy like him to kind of balance that, where he's this overwhelming personality and you feel like he can kick your butt at any time, but also is like, has one of the best hearts of anyone, it was awesome. And he was back at a spring game a couple years ago, and I had my son with me, and I introduced him, and just the nicest guy in the world. I'm thinking, man, I just watched this dude destroy some centers and guards last year all season long.
That's a perfect description. All right, let's get to Will Howard. Gruden, who knows quarterbacks, he's a quarterback whisperer. He called Will Howard the steal of the draft. Do you think that's possible, Bobby? Do you see some of those characteristics in the Ohio State quarterback?
Yeah, I think he is. And I was amazed that he lasted as long as he did. Like, I understand there's some, the Browns taking Dylan Gabriel, okay. Like, there's some appeal with Shedeur Sanders. You know, Milroe's got, like, elite physical traits with as far as his legs and maybe arm strength, just accuracy is an issue. But if you look at a guy who you want someone to be a passer of the football, like, you don't draft a quarterback to go out and throw it. You draft him to pass and direct an offense. I'm not saying Will Howard should have been the number one overall pick, but I didn't really love any of the quarterbacks in this draft. And if you're sitting there telling me, like, you're checking all these boxes of guys going before him, and I sat there and watched him get better and better and better and play bigger and bigger in the biggest moments. And yeah, he had good receivers, but to show me a quarterback in college that doesn't have really good receivers that usually has played well. So you look at some of the plays he made with either his legs, his completion percentage, because when he came to Ohio State, that was the worry. This guy's a 57% career passer. Mm-hmm. It's like, listen, well, let's put him in this offense. Let's let Ryan work with him and Billy work with him and see what they can do. He got better as a passer. And then I think he also got better as a quarterback. So I think he's one of the more NFL-ready guys you're going to find.
What is something that translates to the NFL in his game right away, Bobby? Well, he'll step out there in the preseason and he won't look out of place as a quarterback.
I think his confidence and command. If you watch him go out there and direct a huddle, direct an offense. And, you know, it's not always going to be perfect. And that's why I think Gruden liked him a lot is, you know, plays get messy. Very rarely do you line up and the guy that you're supposed to throw to is open because you got the coverage you got, the protection was perfect and flawless. Like, he does a good job moving in the pocket. He finds the open guy, and he does a great job of keeping the chains moving. And there were some big drives that he made either by keeping it alive with his legs or buying some time and finding someone. But he's so accurate that he takes the layups. And so in the NFL, when you have an open slant or an out or an easy ball, you've got to hit that. Because if not, second and 10 is a lot different than a second and 3 as far as scheming and game planning that. And so he's done that very consistently, so he'll keep you ahead of the chain.
What's something he needs to get better at in the NFL, Bobby, if he's going to make it as a starting quarterback?
Yeah, you know, they talk about his deep ball prowess. Like, he doesn't have the strongest arm in the world, but, you know, I play with Romo, I play with Stafford, I play with Tom Brady. Like, Tony had an incredibly quick release. Stafford probably had the best and strongest arm of all of them. Tom was kind of somewhere in between. You know, I've played against guys that had rifles as arms. You know, you always try to work on your arm strength and try to doing some of that so you can drive the ball deep down the field, like bang those deep outs. And I always say, like, Jeff George had one of the strongest arms to ever play in the NFL. Mm-hmm. You know, Jay Cutler had one of the best arms ever. And, like, Jay was a good quarterback, but, like, he wasn't the best because there's so many more traits that go into it and the ability to sculpt the ball. And so if he just keeps working on his processing and he's put in a good position, like, I think the arm strength thing, and by the way, I do think arm strength matters more in some places than others. AFC North, NFC East, like, those places do matter a lot. But here's the thing. The guy played in a windy, sub, like, 20-degree playoff game in Columbus, Ohio. He's from Pittsburgh. He played more Philadelphia.
Yep.
But he played at Kansas State. Like, this isn't some guy that, you know, grew up in Calabasas and played at Arizona State. So he's got that in his DNA.
Bobby Carpenter with us here, Ohio State legend. You've seen him on McAfee, ESPN, does a great job in Columbus, back at the home of the Buckeyes on radio. Just a tremendous media talent talking about new Steelers quarterback, Will Howard. Thing about Brady for a second, I'm not comparing the two at all, even though they're both six-round picks. What I do think is interesting about Howard, though, Bobby, is he does seem to carry that chip on his shoulder around. He talked about how he wasn't recruited by Pitt or Penn State, how he was passed over by Penn State twice that fueled him in the game against Penn State and State College. Now I think the same thing's going to happen when he's a six-round pick. Like, there are certain guys, if they're going to make it as a long shot, you know, they got to have the right mindset and mentality. And from the outside looking in, I feel like this kid has that. Do you agree?
So when he got to Ohio State, I always think it's very interesting when you bring in this new era of transfer portal quarterbacks. And he was going into a team that had a lot of established starters and a lot of stars. And you're going in there, and you're supposed to be the guy, but they don't know you. They know your film. And so you've got to earn their respect, and you have to win the locker room because you can't fool the room. Any NFL coach will tell you that, man. You cannot fool the room. Those guys, they can smell any type of insecurities and insincerity. And so Will came in, and he just went to work. And he wasn't trying to break down the huddle day one or get on guys day one. He was the dude who stayed in there in his – you know, throwing the ball after practice, trying to get receivers in there, walking around in the in the weight room, picking up weights, picking up guys' sweat rags and stuff, and, like, throwing them in the bin. And, like, so you see that work. And when you see guys do that, man, they're easy to pull for. And then all of a sudden you see them start putting it together on the field. And, like, then you're able to follow that guy. Then you're able to believe in that guy the way that you do. And so getting a chance, you know, and I work out there a pretty decent amount, so watching this and just seeing it from afar, I was like, man, how good is this guy really? And, you know, seeing that, it was great. But really what I was most impressed with was his ability to come in and win the locker room first.
Bobby Carpenter with us, Ohio State legend. Give us a story or something about Jack Sawyer that you know Steelers fans are going to love, Bobby.
Oh, gosh. So Jack's an interesting one because, you know, my dad coached high school football in my hometown where he played as well for 31 years. And it's the town really adjacent to Jack. And so that was like our big rival growing up. They ended up splitting into two schools. But I've got a chance to watch Jack Sawyer, you know, from the time he was a freshman. And he was a big dude, and watching, like, his physical development, put on weight. And what was interesting is, like, he was always kind of the jack of all trades guy. You know, going back, I mean, I don't know how old you are, but, I mean, you know, watching Cordell Stewart, you know, the slash out there. You got Troy Polamalu, you're lining up in a million different ways. Like, areas, like, Jack can do a lot. You know, like, he's out there working on his drops. Like, he may not be the most explosive athlete you're going to find, but he's very fluid. He's good in space. He's a taskmaster. And so watching him through high school, like, work on that. Heck, he was playing quarterback. He's playing tight end, defensive end. Like, move him off the ball. Like, there's a lot of things he can do. He's a very, very natural athlete. And so you put him in a system like that that really – The one thing that is always I've always admired about the Steelers defense is the ingenuity and their creativity with unique players, and Jack will have some of that. I think you may have got two of the best Buckeye steals on that third day, because I don't know if many people believe that Jack was going to be around in the fourth round.
Bobby, I want to just run this by you quick. I know you're a little bit older than this guy, but Ross Tucker went on NFL Network, and he's based out of Harrisburg, and he said in all his years of watching Pennsylvania high school football, by far the greatest athlete he ever saw in person in high school football was Terrell Pryor. So I just wanted to, if you got a Terrell Pryor story, anything on him, and if you want to answer that question, who's the best player you ever saw at that level, high school?
So I'll tell you this about Terrell Pryor. And Terrell, it was honestly, there's very few people that could go never playing receiver. You had one of them, Hines Ward in Pittsburgh, by the way, who played quarterback in Georgia in college. And then all of a sudden, it's like, hey, you go to the NFL. Yeah, we're going to put you a receiver. And Terrell even played quarterback in the NFL first and then made a shift like after he was there and had over 1,000 yards receiving. Like with the it was crazy. And so I tell people this because like he may not have had the most gifted arm. And maybe even in today's NFL, he would have been a little better. But because Vince Young was that guy in college for me. Like Vince was like trying to tackle a horse. I mean, he didn't maybe have the greatest arm, but he had made timely throws. He was so deceptively fast because he gobbled up yards because his stride was so long. And it's the same thing with TP. And I would come back, and a lot of Buckeyes do. They come back and train in the offseason. And like my old ass still goes in there and works out with these guys and tries. I try to pretend to be young, and so it keeps me a little bit there. But I'm in the league. I don't know, fourth, fifth year, and we're running. I've always been able to run conditioning pretty well. And Terrell like has like a pulled hamstring and I don't know what's going on, but we're doing cut 200s down and back. So literally on one end zone running all the way down and back. We're going to run like 8 to 10 of them. And Terrell's kind of like in the middle and I'm towards the front, even with the receivers and the DBs. They're about maybe some of the guys 5 yards ahead of me. In the last three, like I started getting on Terrell. So I'm like, dude, you're supposed to be the leader here. Like you got to go. If you got a pulled hamstring, then just sit out, whatever. And I'm not kidding you. I mean, he's with guys. I'm trying to think like if Malcolm Jenkins was there. Like there's guys who are like first and second round skill position players. He ran this cut 200 and about the 30 to 50 coming back out on that cut. So there's about 50 to 75 yards left. He like dropped it into another gear and like ran away from these guys like they were standing still and finished like 25 yards ahead of everybody else in the last three of them. And like trying to understand that for people that like waste fast, I'm like, but everybody out there is fast. For someone to do that when they're like around guys who are 4-4 guys and just pull away because their stride is like 7 yards long and their turnover is the same, it's not even real. And I remember looking at that like, this guy can be whatever he wants. It's just going to be up to him if he's going to make that choice or not.
Bobby, thank you so much, man. Our YouTube comments and texters are loving it. We actually do have some Buckeye fans here in Pittsburgh who are big fan of you and your career, so... hat tip to you, and we'll do it again sometime. Thank you so much.
Hey, absolutely, man. Hopefully this audio was good. I'm in this hyperbaric chamber here, so I'm trying to...
Hyperbaric chamber? Holy cow.
Yeah, man. I took the mask off. Like, normally I got a little mask on and everything. Well, I mean, listen, dude, when you're old, you've got to try to stay young.
And so I agree.
My friend's got one, and so he's just use it whenever you want. I said, all right, man, we'll come up here, do some work, and hang out, and do some calls, whatever I got to do.
Perfect, man. Thank you so much, Bobby. Take care, brother.
Have a good one.
There you go, Bobby Carpenter.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.